Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Can your savings weather an economic storm? There are very few physical assets you can invest in that are proven to stand the test of time. Gold has withstood as a valued form of money for millennia. And Birch Gold lets you convert a retirement account into a tax-sheltered IRA and physical gold that doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. Text COAST to 989898 and claim your free info kit on gold. Text COAST to 989898 and secure your savings today.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
We're back. George Norrie with Varla Ventura. Varla, back in 2018, you wrote a book called Paranormal Parlor, Ghost Seances and Tales of True Hauntings. Your thoughts on ghosts. What do you think they are?
I have to tell you something, George. It was Tower Grove Park.
Ah, and I know it well. Know it well.
Yes, right by the Missouri Botanical Garden.
Yep, so that's another big one.
I looked it up while we were on break there because I was kind of driving me crazy that I didn't have the right name there. So just wanted to tell you that. My thoughts on ghosts, I mean, I believe in them. I have seen them. I am not convinced of any one line of thought about what they are. I know that people can kind of classify ghosts. You know, are they residual ghosts? Is it, is it somebody that's, their spirit can't pass on? But I think that because there's such a wide variety of sort of what I would call paranormal encounters, or encounters with some kind of ghost or entity, it could be something that you hear. It could be a feeling. It could be, you know, physical touch. Something kind of sitting next to you, and yet there's nothing there. And there's so many variations on that. Shadow people, something very ethereal and visual, something that doesn't even seem like a ghost at first until you realize that it's sort of out of place. So I feel like there's just all these variations on what we think of as a ghost, and of it being sort of the essence of a person who was once living. But in my sort of estimation, there's this whole other world, right? It's the other realm. It's the realm where the sort of invisible fairy creatures live, and the creepy creatures dwell. And it's not necessarily always invisible. There's a really old Irish story about Manon MacLir, who is the son of the sea god. And it was said that when the fairies were at war with humans, they were going to leave Ireland. And he, the son of the sea god, rose up from the sea, and he gave the fairies the gift of the veil, a large invisible cloak, basically the ability to hide themselves, and they then went underground. They stayed in Ireland, but this ability to sort of cloak themselves at any given point, but that you could remove that veil on their own accord, or sometimes you catch them by surprise. And I'm not saying when you die you go to that same realm, right. But I think that there are things that come through from that other realm when that, you know, we talk about that veil being thinner at, like, you know, this time of year, really Halloween, but also like this really dark season. So I think there's a very fine line between, I don't know if we'll ever really know I know I have, you know, made some vows with friends like Houdini and his wife did, right? Like, when I come back, you're going to know. If I come back to give you a sign, it's going to be a really obvious thing. Like, there's going to be this, I'm going to do this. But I think just like there's so many different types of people and personalities and abilities, I just don't think all ghosts are as good at it.
Yeah.
As some. And actually, in tying in with that Emily Grant Hutchings story, that story has one of my favorite lines I think I've ever read, because Twain's ghost is saying something to her like, I keep running at that board and I kind of have to, like, you know, I'm elbowing my way to be able to talk to you. And she says something like, oh, are there many of you there? And he said, everyone here wants a scribe on earth.
Wow. What is a banshee, Varla?
Yeah, well, you know, you read my mind, George, because I was a ghost in that sort of like fairy realm, that sort of supernatural creature realm. The banshee straddles them both. The banshee fits in so many of those categories and also in none of them. But technically, the word banshee means of the fairy mound. It's an Irish word. And a banshee is a warning spirit that portends of death or sometimes just very grave illness. So usually heard, we've all heard of like the banshee scream or the screaming banshee. I think that's what
yeah, exactly.
Names that.
that horrible shriek, right?
Yes, a horrible shriek, something very, very mournful, very high-pitched. Sometimes the banshee is only heard, and it's this very eerie sound. Other times you could hear it and also see the banshee, and people who have seen banshees have described them typically as presenting female, usually kind of beautiful, but also very frightening at the same time. And but also occasionally sometimes as sort of a harmless little old woman who's hobbling down the road and then turns and starts screaming and, you know, kind of tricks you so that she can give you her warning. And there are counterparts to the banshee cross-culturally, like around the world. And these are sort of, you know, those warning ghosts, you know, everything from a disembodied head to you know, a cry in the night. The Woman in White is a very famous, she appears in castles in Germany and Italy, and it's this ghost that appears, and she always appears before somebody dies in that family.
Wow.
And it's interesting because traditionally, you know, in traditional sort of like the Irish hierarchy of banshees, banshees are inherited by families. So if you were from a particular clan and you had a banshee, you would not everyone in the family would be able to see the banshee, but, you know, someone in each generation was usually able to see or, you know, hear the banshee. And interestingly, there was this fabulous Irish writer named Elliot O'Donnell, and he wrote a lot about banshees, but he was really cool because he, unlike a lot of the people, you know, during the early 20th century who were collecting all this folklore and sort of recording what the quote-unquote peasants were saying about the old ways, he had grown up seeing ghosts. And so his work is laced with the belief that ghosts are real. And so whether you're he has some short stories, just like short ghost stories, but a lot of what he's collected are other people's stories and his own experiences. It's like his own paranormal parlor book, you know, and it's really like this view. And he wrote a lot about banshees and talks about somewhat about the counterparts around the world, but also just about, you know, there are some that are a little bit more vicious and they, you know, will wreak havoc and cause chaos. That's usually if they're not being heard. But I've always wondered, are the banshees inherited by someone, or is it the ability to see the banshees that's inherited? And then, of course, you know, once upon a time, clans lived in the same place, and they lived in their territory for, you know, hundreds of years. And then now people don't always live in their family home, right? So I feel like that's a good conversation starter at a dinner party where you kind of don't know anyone. Do you think that the ability to banshees is inherited?
You'd be a hit of the party, believe me.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
In the 1840s, Charles Dickens wrote A Christmas Carol, and it really dealt with not only Scrooge, but spirits of Christmas. Are there real spirits of Christmas? Because I think I had seen you talk about Christmas witches one day.
Oh, yes. So that was not Dickens' only ghost story. It was completely a Victorian tradition to tell ghost stories around Christmas time. Gather around the hearth, people had some downtime, and he would tell scary stories. He would tell ghostly tales. And Dickens was very interested in these. That was kind of his big hit, right? The Christmas Carol was his big hit.
Huge. He sold 16,500 copies in like 2 weeks.
And like by today's, I mean, he would be, you know.
A best-selling author.
Yeah, 65 weeks running on the, or I guess probably a lot longer than that, running on the New York Times bestseller list. But, he every year would put out a Christmas pamphlet. He had this journal that he would publish, and he would get guest authors and things. And so he actually wrote several, and there would always be a ghost story in there. So he would, you know, gather his friends around, and they would write about ghosts. Or one time he did this whole collection of stories in which he set everything in a haunted house, and he gave everybody a different room, and they had to write from the point of view of the ghost of that room. And these were fictional stories, of course. But he also, he and a couple of authors that influenced him and wrote for his, in his journals, talk a lot about the sort of the high magic and the dangers of the 12 days of Christmas.
Hmm.
Some of this was very startling to me when I learned about it, such as if you go to draw water from a well at midnight on Christmas Eve, it is entirely possible that you will pull blood from your well.
Oh, my God. And that is the only water source they had in those days, from your wells.
Yeah. Other stories tell of somebody hurrying home a little too late from the party on Christmas Eve and passing by the stables and hearing animals talk, but like stable animals who don't really like their masters. So, you know, animal farm rebellion stories. It was also believed that there were, not unlike some of the stories about the traditional Samhain or original Halloween, it was a time when, you know, witches would cavort with trolls and they would dance on the heath and you know, all mayhem and revelry would take place because it was thought to be a time of high magic. And still is, right? That's a bit of the magic of Christmas. And there are several Christmas witches, actually. One of my favorite Christmas witches is the Icelandic Christmas witch.
It's Bifana.
Bifana is the Italian Christmas witch.
She's
fabulous. She is like wonderful. Actually, I was once in Italy after Christmas time and was walking down the street and I thought, why are all these cakes with witches in the window of this bakery? Why are there witch shaped cookies? I didn't understand it. And so I started asking around. They said, oh, the La Bifana, La Bifana. And so La Bifana, she comes on January 6th, and she rides through the town, and she sweeps on her broom, and she leaves cookies and sweets for the children, and she sweeps away all of the bad luck from the previous year and welcomes in the good. And that's a very common, the sweeping of the hearth, actually, as on either Christmas Eve or on New Year's, you know, that sort of like ritualistic cleaning and getting rid of the old and bringing in the new is a very common practice.
What is Krampus?
Krampus is sort of a monstery devil-like guy, and he's kind of the counterpart to Saint Nicholas. He is German and also very popular in Austria.
Is he the evil Santa?
He's not exactly the evil Santa, but a little bit, right? Like not exactly the opposite, but there's a whole host of these sort of beastly monsters who have crazy fur growing all over them, and they're wrapped in chains, and they clamor through the town at night with switches and sacks to throw terrible, ill-behaved children and adults into their sacks. And it's kind of the idea that today we have, you know, the threat of the lump of coal in the stocking. It's kind of like, you know, you and I grew up with that. Like, you have to be good on Christmas. Like, but really this was a much more, visual, and physical threat that really kept the children in mind, right? These sort of like mischievous creatures. And there's a couple of witches who have these sort of goatee demon-like creatures as their minions that wreak their havoc on Christmas night. And so like Bifana is like a really gentle, nice witch, but you have Grilla, who is the Icelandic witch. And she is basically like this big witch ogress that lives in the mountains. And she's got 13 Yule lads. And each one of these Yule lads comes out on the 12 nights of Christmas. And they all have a different purpose. And they all have hilarious and delightful names, which you can kind of connect with things that children weren't supposed to be doing on that night. Because, of course, you're talking about leading up to, like, a big, beautiful feast. And so you had things like one of them was a candle baker. His name was Curtis Snirk.
Did people create these, Varla, because they didn't have any television or radio or social networking and they were bored? Or are these real?
Coast to coast. I mean, I think they're real. But, of course, again, I'm a supernaturalist, right? So I believe in all of these things. But I firmly believe, George, that it's too easy to simply dismiss stories that come from original people, that come from indigenous people, that come from the native culture, to turn it and say, oh, well, they were, you know, they were just trying to keep the kids from falling into the fire. They were just, I mean, some of it, of course, there's cautionary tales that serve a really strong purpose. But when you have these traditions that are throughout the world and have all of these sort of connections, and especially like, you know, in areas with really, really extreme winters, you can see that there actually are demons and monsters out there, and you can call them whatever you want. You can call them by a different name, but you really don't want to be caught facing them in the night. So it's kind of the same argument for me of like, you know, when people see the accounts of mermaids, are they sleep deprived, nutrient deprived, oxygen deprived because they're drowning, or are they seeing mermaids? You know, are you going into hypothermia and you're seeing this gnarly, gnashing, clawed beast coming through the forest? Is it because you're in hypothermia? I mean, you're still seeing it, right? So to me, I always think there's more than a kernel of truth in any of these stories. And I don't really see a big benefit in trying to prove if they're true or not. I like to enjoy the stories for what they are and accept that they absolutely can be real. And you know, and take that cautionary tip to not be stumbling down the lane on a too drunk from a Christmas party.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.